also express greetings to each and every one of you from through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. May the last line there, I think Paul's soul was rekindled, you know, from fire from above, and may that be our experience also. So a lot on Mother's Day, and so maybe I'll just continue. With that, I guess a few thoughts that I have here to share. So I just looked it up a little bit, some info that I found. I didn't realize when it was actually instituted. President Wilson actually instituted a Mother's Day in 1914, it says, was instituted as a day to honor all mothers. So everything has its beginning, of course, somewhere along the line, but that was what I found on that. even though the Bible doesn't necessarily say this is a specific day that we should honor our mothers, yet it tells us that we should do it all the days of our life to honor our father and mother, every day throughout the year. And who else would be in your life, so to speak, do you feel that would be more deserving of honor than your own mother? You know, that's a question that was asked here. They've experienced great pain to bring you into this world. They've taken care of you through sickness and health. They've shown you love and understanding. They've worked long hours without pay, that we can have the health and happiness that we have. Mothers are largely responsible for the success in the lives of people, of their things. So just a couple quotes I found. John Quincy Adams, he said, "All that I am, my mother has made me." Abraham Lincoln says, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And Thomas Edison, he paid tribute like this. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness, her potent powers to keep me on the right path, my mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing." So, you know, what would we have less in this world if we wouldn't have had Thomas Edison and all his inventions? We wouldn't even have these lights up here, right? So to speak. But anyway, so he attributed that, if it wouldn't have been for, he said he was a careless boy. And he said if it wouldn't have been for his mother to keep him on the straight and narrow and moving forward, you know, the outcome, one way or the other, is pretty critical, or is pretty serious, I should say. And yet, I'm going to read a poem. I found a bunch of poems and stuff here to share a little bit, and I want to read them. So, and you know, in today's world, I guess, or whatever, acknowledging a woman as a homemaker or a keeper of the home is not the popular thing, and so versus working out. So it's this little poem was titled "No Occupation." It's like she doesn't have a paying job, right? Okay, let's evaluate this a little bit. It says she rises up at the break of day, and through her tasks she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, ribbons too, all need consideration, and yet the census that man insists she has no occupation. When the breakfast dishes all are done, she makes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one, with one eye watching baby. The mending piles she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning lass and laddie. A hearty dinner, then she cooks, no time for relaxation. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. For lessons that children learn, the evening scarce is ample. To mother dear they always turn for help with each example. Mom, can you help me? In grammar and geography, she finds no relaxation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. I wonder who that sounds like. So then I found this article yet. I think maybe you, some of you have seen some of this or read about it. But so there's a website called salary.com based in Massachusetts that specializes in determining the value or compensation of all kinds of jobs and occupations. But they did a survey of 40,000 mothers, and this is what they found. They found that a mother puts in a 92-hour work week and works at least 10 different jobs. And here are the names of them: housekeeper, a teacher, a cook, computer operator, laundry machine operator, a janitor, facilities manager, van driver, CEO, and a psychologist. And the firm calculated that if a mother were paid for her work, should we be earning almost $140,000 a year. This is for full-time mothers. Even mothers who work full-time jobs outside the home, no pun intended, $85,000 worth of work, $85,939 worth of work as a mother if she would just worked outside her home. Another study found that women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year of leisure time. A mother's job is hard. She needs her time out. I'm going to stop with that. But compared with a woman that worked outside of her home and making $85,000 to a mother that stays at home, and what they calculate her job to be, was $140,000 a year. I'm not sure. Have you made that yet, Deborah, or not? Or Ada, or, yeah, probably not. But just to put a little bit of a picture of, like, what all they do and what all they you know, and it's worth way more than even that, what dollar amount can, you know, that we could figure out that they would, that they're worth, because they're worth more than that. And we know that. So it is commanded, though, in both the Old and New Testaments. I'm not sure how many times, but it does tell us that we should honor our mother. And in Exodus 20, verse 12, you know, it first tells us to honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long, that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord thy God has given thee. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, he wrote this. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And that promise goes back to even to Exodus there, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, there's many ways that we can honor mother. And like Ethan shared, what did Abraham do? How did Abram honor God? It was simply by obeying him. He asked him to leave his land, so he packed his bags and he left. And so probably the greatest way that we can honor our mothers today would be also by obedience, by obeying them. We are to respect their authority, because disobedience is in conflict with God's word. In Luke chapter 2, there was some verses here that correlated to what we had read earlier, but Jesus is sharing here at the very end of this chapter, I think. know, even there in this chapter, Luke chapter 2, when he had got as a young child, when he had stayed back and with the crowd and was there with the in the synagogues and talking with the people, and his mom and dad came back and they found him, and when they saw him, they were amazed. This is verse 48. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. This is not, I'm sorry. I'm going to finish it. And they went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subjected unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So even there, you know, his obedience to his mom end up, we know that was God involved in that, I guess. But Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. And his, you know, his mom respected him in that way too. Under the old law, those that didn't respect or honor their parents was often they was the law allowed them to be put to death. The New Testament does not command disobedient children to be put to death in that sense, and yet it does tell us simply that, you know, they have a hard road. Just follow even people that you know that have been disobedient to their parents. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy road when they go against that. Disobedient children will suffer many heartache in life. So let's express our love and appreciation for them. They don't ask for pay, even though we shared how much pay they should be worth. They just to hear that. There was a few more. There was other poems here that it was written out. Here's one, Laverne Larson has written a poem. It says, The earth has many treasures which are rare and so divine, yet none of them compare with that wonderful mother of mine. She shines with tender beauty from a holy inner glow, and her laugh and radiant smile weave a special joy, I know. When I was just a tiny baby, she held me in her arms and sang me soft, sweet lullabies with soothing magic charms. She kissed my hurts and tears away, through every passing year, and sought to bring my happiness and chase my doubt and fear. She taught me lovely evening prayers and took me by the hand to show me all the wonders of sky and sea and land. Yes, the earth has many treasures, rare and rich and fine, but I wouldn't trade them all for that wonderful mother of mine. Another way that we can show that we honor and them is take care of them when they're no longer able to take care of themselves, because they have taken care of you. How many years before you was able to take care of yourself? And another way of honoring them is by living a righteous life. Brings an honor to a mother. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 31 then and read. But here's a little testimony, I guess, that I found. There was once a brilliant young man who was studying in one of the well-known universities. He was a very muscular athlete, and on the field he was lion-like in his contact with his opponents. But when the game was over, he was very kind and very considerate to others, especially to women. The word mother was most sacred to him. And whenever that word was used in his presence, he would become silent. Sometimes he even shed tears. A friend of his inquired one day why he was so rough and lion-like in athletics and so gentle at other times, especially towards girls or women. He answered, his answer was, I never like to refer to this, but my father told me that when I was being born, mother's case was most serious. Said the doctor, I cannot save them both. Decide quickly which one it shall be. My father stood speechless, I was told, not knowing what to say. Mother, who had overheard the doctor, said, I will die. Let my child live. And thus, mother gave her life for me. In the same sense, you know, when Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished, and he asked, you know, for permission from his fathers if it must be that way, and he also gave his life for us, so we should also, an example, show the most, you know, the greatest love that we've ever known was given from him. But the second, I would say, has come from our mothers. Jesus loves us with all his life, so let's also remember him in all the things that we honor and glorify. But if you want to turn to, we're going to look at Proverbs. I'm going to read it in the New Living Version, I think it is. But Proverbs, and we think about the book of Proverbs, I guess. And we think it was written by Solomon. You know, he spoke over 3,000 proverbs, it says. There's probably only like 800 or so recorded. I don't know where 1,000 recorded are in the book of Proverbs. And yet, do we have any proverbs that we, you know, are they proverbs? Are there still proverbs today? Or is it just because of Solomon wrote these? But Proverbs 1, it gives us some instructions here. In verse 7, let's read a couple of verses in Proverbs 1. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And then Matthew, I'm going to turn to Matthew 12. We see in Matthew 12 at the end of the chapter there. In verse 46, and says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And Jesus answered this in verse 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So Proverbs 31, go to then, which is the last of the last chapter of Proverbs. So, just to give you an example of maybe some proverbs that mom or somebody has told us today already, that's not written in this book, it's not given by Solomon, but the question was asked of different young people, what would be a proverb that you remember today, or that something has been told to you? here's just some, you know, that was given by different age children, I guess, that I found when I researched this, I guess, a little bit. Patrick, he's 10, and he says, never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, being 14, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look like I'm stupid? Don't answer him. Randy, age 9 years of age, says, stay away from prunes. Neoma, age 15, says, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Here's another one that says, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. And Eileen, she's age 8, she said, never try to baptize a cat. So what are some that you have said? Have you ever tried that? You know, these are just things that, like, you know, that mom or dad or somebody has probably told you, or a saying that exists among us. And there may be certain ones in different families that get repeated over and over. I don't know if you want to share any of them or not. But anyways, those are just things. And these are things, you know, like the Solomon writes about, that are proverbs that he found through life and as he studied and he wrote them down, things that work or don't work, or things we should do and not do, instructions to the way of life, you could say. But I think, you know, it's best that we would stick to the ones that was written, inspired in the Holy Book. So the translation I'm going to read is the New Living Translation. But does anybody have a proverb they want to share right now? You sure that one's not in here? Yeah, in different words. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Another one here says, never tell your mom that her diet's not working. You know, just don't, things that you should or shouldn't do, I guess. But we'll go through this. So in Proverbs 31, I think it starts on verse 11. 10, I guess. Solomon is giving these as lessons, as, you know, also as instructions, and also just giving us a little bit of an insight on how much a, like verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. So even the salary.com's estimation of $140,000 a year is probably not even worth a ruby, you know, compared to what a rubies would be worth according to their value. But verse 11, like I said, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, I guess, just to, it's maybe a little simpler, but it doesn't take away from anything, I guess. It says, her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. The heart of the husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil, it says. 12. She would not hinder him, but help him all her life. It just says she would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. 15. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. And she says there, she rises while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So, like, she takes care of them and she gets it all ready. 16. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. You know, thinking about that, you know, do they make that decisions in our lives? I guess, you know, I think it was important that we agreed, I guess, to let's buy this or buy that, especially if we were looking at properties. 17. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. So it says she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. 18. She watches for bargains. Her light burns. Her lights burn late into the night. Her candle goeth not out by night. 19. Her hands are busy spinning thread. Her fingers are twisting fibers. You know, she's making the distaff. She's making the distaff as part of a loom. She's making clothes. She's covering people. 20. She extends a helping hand to the poor, opens her arms to the needy. 21. She has no fear of winter for her household, because all of them have warm clothes. You know, 21 says she's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know, they're covered. So not only are they covered with like the clothes, but I think the word, you know, thinking the word scarlet, they're covered also, you know, the faith that she has in all that. 22, she quilts her own bedspreads. She dresses like royalty in gowns of the finest cloth. It says she maketh herself tapestries. Her clothing is silk and purple, which was very, a costly, or the purple is the color of royalty. I think it still is today. 23, her husband is well known, for he sits in the council meeting with other civic leaders. Says he sits among the elders of the land. 24, she maketh belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. So she maketh fine linen, and she selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. So not only is she making for herself and her own household, but she's also making it to produce an income. She's making it to benefit their family. So she's selling these things. 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs with no fear of the future. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the times to come. So just the difference in the wording there a little bit. It says she has no fear of the future. You know, she's able to figure it out, to make it work. 26, when she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule when she gives instructions. 27, she carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. 28, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. It says her children rise up and call her blessed, blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. 29 says there are many virtuous and capable women in this world, but you surpass them all. You know, her daughters have done well, but thou excellest them all. 30, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And 31 says, reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, the book ends with a picture of a very strong character, lots of wisdom, compassion that overflows. You know, so some people think of in the world as a female being weak, just as a servant, or but it's not so according to, you know, the scriptural that we have here. She's excellent. She manufactures things. She imports things. She manages things. She gives her word for real estate to buy. She's a farmer. She's a seamstress. She's an upholsterer. She's a merchant. She goes to market. But in all that he tells us too there in there, that her strength and her dignity don't come from all those achievements either that she has done, but there are results of her reverence to God. There are results of what God has blessed her with. It says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she is the one that shall be praised. Or that's where the praise goes, instead of to all the things that she has. The Bible has much to say about women. It has much to say about motherhood. In fact, it says it appears that the word mother or motherhood appears like 320 times, more in the Old Testament than in the New. And we look at an example in Judges chapter 5. Just to use some examples here for... talks about Deborah here. They were being overtaken, I guess, the children of Israel. They was in slavery, should say, I guess. In verse 7 it says, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. And just what this statement is saying is like village life had ceased. Things had become non-existent until a mother arose in Israel to lead them. She was a prophetess, and she led them out of that. She led them into deliverance. You know, every nation needs this type of a mother. United States of America, as much as any other country, you could say, we need the church. Israel today, every son, every daughter, there's no substitute for a godly mother. There's no substitute that can take its place. There's tons of, I don't know if the word is tons, but there's so much power to a country and a nation, to a land, to a family, to whatever you want to attribute to a godly mother. And the opposite is also true. In Chronicles, you can read of Ahaziah, if I'm pronouncing it right. It says he walked in the ways of his house, the house of Ahab, for his mother had told him to do wickedly. And he did it. And so it was a destruction of that. And there's no greater blessing than a godly woman. There's no greater tragedy than an evil woman. You know, because of the influence and long-term aspects that it has on life. In John 19, verse 27, Jesus was acknowledging his mom, Mary. And there was another we could pick out. Joseph shared a little bit about that this morning, I guess, or in sharing about Mother's Day and thinking about Mary. She was blessed. So, in verse 25, it says, John 19, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, which we consider that to be John, I think, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home, and he took care of her and helped provide for her. After this, Jesus, knowingly that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Of the words that recorded, that Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross, he said, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. You know, even in his dying hour, he cared enough about his mom to dedicate her, to ask John to help provide for her and take care of her. What do mothers do most? They teach nonstop, basically. And what do they teach? They teach you a lot of different things, I've heard this one from my mom, maybe not to this same extent, but in this exact same words, but the exact same meaning. You know, it's like, I want to go too. Everybody else is going, you know. Well, if they ask you to go jump off a cliff, would you do that too? You know, that's mom's logic. That's her reasoning. Like, yeah, right. Everyone's going. I said no. Would you go jump off a cliff? You know, no, you wouldn't. But you would do everything else everybody wants to do. That's, you know. So there's a mother's proverb that's not written, but you know it's used, and I've heard that one. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, not everybody else is going. There are 7 or 8 million people, billion people in the world, so they're not all going. Here's one on medicine. These are just some sayings, I guess. You know, I don't know if this one's ever used, but if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. Remember, quit making faces, because if it freezes that way, you're done. You're going to be that way. So they, you know, they teach it in a lot of ways. These are just some examples, and we could probably think of other ones. You know, how are you going to become an adult? You know, they want to teach you to become an adult. Well, if you don't eat your vegetables, you're never going to grow up, right? They also teach us about genetics a lot. You're going to be just like your father. Just wait. You know, so these are just simple sayings. They teach about the wisdom of age. You know, when you finally get to be of my age, you understand. Or they'll say, I'll explain this to you when you get older. They teach you about anticipation. They use the term like this, well, just wait till dad gets home. So you have to wait, anticipation. They teach us about justice also. They'll tell you this. Well, one day you're going to have children of your own. I hope they turn out just like you, and then you'll see what it's like for me to be your mom. But they also teach lots of other things. Simply, they teach love by loving. They teach faith by practicing it. They teach compassion because they show it. They teach the Bible because they live it. They teach perseverance because they don't give up. They teach the way to heaven because they walk that way themselves. You know, have you ever seen your mom give up in anything she endeavored? Even when she put salt in the batch of cookies, you know, or whatever it may be. They made more. They did others. You know, they don't give up. So they also do lots. There's the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of their health, the sacrifice of their own resources, their sacrifice of being an individual. You know, they do it together. They sacrifice whatever is necessary for the best of their family, for the good of their family. And no one totally sees all that and understands all that. But they're also indispensable for God's plan of life, for the home, for the family, and for the expansion of His kingdom. Irma, I found this article. Irma Bobeck wrote this, just a little picture of when God made mom, when God made a woman. Remember, He was in the sixth day of His creation. I'm just going to read it. He was into His sixth day of creation, overtime, when the angel appeared to Him and said, "What are you doing now? You're fiddling around so much on this one." And the Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair in 6 pairs of hands." And the angel shook her head and slowly said, "Six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's those 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have. "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded, "Yes. One pair that sees through the closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones that here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, "I understand, I love you," without so much as even uttering a word. "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "go to bed. You can finish this tomorrow." "I can't," says the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on a pound of hamburger, can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But it's tough," said the Lord. You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. "There's a leak here," she pronounced. "I told you, you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointments, pain, loneliness, pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked sober. "But I didn't put that there." I have several more, I guess. "Mom's Love," this is another one. "It's scaring away the monsters in the middle of the night. And then again at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. It's reading the same bedtime story for 999 times. Love is a hug around the knees. Love is a refrigerator covered with creative works of art. Love is standing in line for 2 hours buying tickets. Love is not grimacing through the dirtiest of diapers. Love is trading in the Camaro for a station wagon. Love is a magic kiss that heals all the owies. Love is a cuddly kid in a blanket sleeper. Love is the first kick, first smile, first laugh, first step, first of anything. Love is your child pointing to a picture and saying, "That's Mama." Love is your child sound asleep, any child sound asleep. Love is a macaroni necklace. Love is wearing that macaroni necklace to church with pride. Love is a peanut butter kiss, a syrup kiss, a chocolate kiss, or any kind of a kiss. Love is a banquet of dandelions. Love is the smell of a baby's neck. Love is saying no at the right times when it's easier to say yes. And love is saying yes at the right times when it's easier to say no. Is it someone who will shelter us and guide us and love us no matter what we do? Warm understanding, infinite patience, and wonderful gentleness. How often a mother means swift reassurance, is soothing our small childish fears. How tenderly mothers will watch over their children and treasure them throughout all the years. The heart of a mother is full of forgiveness for any mistake, big or small, and generous, always in helping her family, whose need she has placed above all. A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all our cares fall away. She can brighten a home with the sound of her laughter and make life delightful and gay. A mother possesses incredible wisdom and wonderful insight and skills. In each human heart is that one special corner which only a mother can fill. Back to Proverbs 31:30, it simply told us that charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. She was also created, every mother was also given as the teaching moment or wanting that her children experienced salvation and are accepted and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you could say. She was created for procreation. For those very purposes. So let us love, you know, first and foremost, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And give him all the honor and glory for everything. And yet we should also bestow lots of honor upon the very person that brought us into this world, nurtured us, took care of us, and provided for us. And we remember, I remember easily going to my mom, you could say, for advice or for things that I wanted to know or do before I would my dad. Just the way it was. I just would, you know. Maybe that's not also for everybody, but that's, I remember my mom is always having an answer or having good instructions to share with me as I was growing up and learning and growing, I guess. But so I thank God for that. And she's been gone for quite a while. So I'm. That's all I have. Anyone has some that they want to share? A testimony of their mom or mothers, or a proverb that they remember, I guess them saying, that helped them in life, feel free to.